Hello and welcome to another episode of Forkful of Noodles. I'm Krish Mohan. You guys remember the days when the transgender issue was just about bathrooms and a complete intrusion and obsession over what people's genitals look like? Ugh, remember how simple the solution was? Just get single bathrooms. You can fit like four single bathrooms in the place of public toilets. It's efficient, it's economic. I mean, the debate of transgenderism has now devolved past what's that lady's dong look like to what are we going to do about these new dongs in the military? People went overboard over another series of tweets from the epitome of corporatocracy, President Trump, about banning transgender folks from serving in the military. The walking brand name we call President claims to take issue with the tremendous medical costs it would take to keep transgender folks in the military. Great. Another outrage caused by a tweet. I mean, this society is obsessed with Trump's tweets as much as the GOP is obsessed with transgender genitals. The first thing to note is this is not a regulation yet, but it could become regulation in the near future. The Joint Chiefs of Staff have said they won't make any modifications to the policy till the president writes a letter to the Secretary of Defense and they advise accordingly. No matter how you swing it, tweets are not letters, not even many ones. More than anything, it incites the debate over transgender rights in this country. Again, though unlike the bathroom bill, this issue isn't solved with single bathrooms. However, like the bathroom bill, this does smell like a load of shit. So let's start with the obvious question. How many transgender people serve in the military? That's a great question. And no one has the answer to that. Transgender people aren't treated with civility we pretend to have in society. So why would they express their gender preference and pronoun preference around the hyper-masculine culture of the military? Around a bunch of hormonal teenagers with guns? A lot of numbers are thrown out there. Breitbart says there's only 250 transgender folks in the military, but that number only includes the 250 soldiers that started transitioning while they were in service. According to psychiatrist George Brown, there have been upwards of 150,000 transgender folks who served in the military, but they weren't transitioning because they wanted to prove that they were real men. And look, that goes for the women. Okay, the women in the military have to prove that they are more of men than some of the men are. Okay, so this brings up the even bigger debate surrounding transgenderism, the mental health argument. First thing we have to realize is when it comes to mental health, our society is highly regressive. Till 1987, homosexuality was considered a mental illness with symptoms including wearing a lavender shirt or a Hawaiian one, but that was on a case-by-case basis. And till the 90s, women could have hysteria, also a mental illness. Collecting stamps, though, that's in the gray area still. And the way we treat mental illness is regressive, too. We just isolate and abandon these people, shove pills down their throats, and when they come out more traumatized than when they went in, we isolate them again. Huh. Repeating the same thing and expecting a different outcome is called something. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, insanity. Gender dysphoria is described as someone who doesn't align with the biological gender they were assigned with at birth. According to the DSM-5, symptoms include disgust in their own genitalia, social isolation, and depression. Well, here's the problem with that, right? Social isolation is caused by the judgment that society has towards anyone with any mental illness, rather than actually help them, which leads into the depression. Most transgender folks don't have a disgust for their own genitals, they just know that those are not the genitals that should be on them. But it's like society wants to play a shitty Jedi mind trick on them. These are the genitals you're looking for. Also, nobody likes their bodies, including their genitals. I mean, we're all programmed to think that we're supposed to be chiseled from marble, but realistically, we've all just been sculpted out of silly putty. Nothing is perfect, and one day we're all going to be smushed into the ground and be part of some shitty egg hunt on Easter. And this is the DSM-5. That means we've had 5 different tries to understand this. And instead of that, we just say, nah, let's just continue to marginalize people by claiming that they're sick. And then we have pills to sell. And when the sad pills don't work, we'll just pump them full of sex pills. So they'll be rock hard all day and have to worry about their dong instead of being sad. If gender dysphoria is considered a mental illness, I guess we should start considering gender euphoria as a mental illness too. Anyone that is so in love with their genitals and thinks that they are God's gift to humanity just because of a little piece of flesh, that means that the most hyper-masculine military dudes that are just looking to get laid and blow shit up because of their dongs would have to be institutionalized. Anytime someone gets into a bar fight, it could land you with some prescription pills and ostracized from society, which leads to depression and a severe case of gender dysphoria. A lot of right-wingers make the argument that you shouldn't serve in the military where you operate a tank or a gun if you're not stable enough to figure out your own gender. Okay, 2 quick things. What makes you think that a hyper-hormonal 18-year-old is stable to operate any weapon? You think someone that can't even control the amount of boners they have in one day should be controlling a tank? Letting a bunch of hyper-masculine frat boys handle an invasion of an area of the world that's riddled with sensitive international affairs is not just crazy, it's irresponsible. I bet we'd just change the way we discuss mental health if we added right-winging into the DSM-6. Transgender people know their gender, okay? And to know what you want and figure out the most rational way of going about getting it is sane. And I'm not the only one that says this. The World Health Organization is declassifying transgender identity as a mental illness. The WHO says that mental illnesses come from distress and dysfunction, but those symptoms are the reactions of other people. Denmark has already stopped considering it a mental illness, proving once again that the Danes are more socially progressive than the greatest country on the planet. If you overuse that phrase, you suffer from the mental illness of blind patriotism and nationalism. Symptoms may include beating your chest like a gorilla, mispronouncing America, drinking watered-down beer, celebrating 4th of July on Christmas, and living in a red, white, and blue bubble. The only cure is flag burning and reading. Reading fucking anything. Now, the debate over transgender medical bills comes from after the House rejected a bill that said that the Pentagon should stop paying medical bills for the transitions. Currently, that's $2.4 to $8.4 million for the transgender medical services. But the military spends $41.6 million on Viagra alone, which means that the Department of Defense is funding its own sexual assault charges. Do you think when you pump a bunch of hyper-masculine dudes with pills that give them uncontrollable boners, they won't go looking for sex wherever they can get it? Or do you really think that they'll be chill and read Sun Tzu's Art of War? Last year, there were over 6,100 cases of sexual assault in the military, which has doubled in 4 years. Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with the astronomical amount spent on boner pills. In an active war zone, I doubt that the first thought in a soldier's mind is to get some. Or in the case of the US military, to take some. So why spend over $40 million on a sex pill? It's almost like the military is trying to cover up PTSD with sex. Great. First religion ruined sex, then schools ruined sex, and now the military is ruining sex? I mean, sex is supposed to be a great tool for biology and evolution, and it's supposed to be fun. Stop mixing it into war and God and ruining it. I don't want to think about subjugation and a death toll when I'm trying to create life. And look, I get that Viagra can help vets with PTSD have sex again, but so can psychedelics. I mean, pure MDMA has been proven to help people cope with PTSD and trauma without the side effect of a 4-hour erection. We can take that $41 million and use it to fund research on drugs that actually work to help people instead of peddling these as-seen-on-TV fucking pharma pills. Fuck, even Walmart shoppers look down on as-seen-on-TV stuff. Then again, why would you want to fund a drug that makes us see our own shared humanity and find peace? It's a lot easier to keep this perpetual war machine going. Maybe if the DoD spent that money on teaching soldiers lessons on how to treat human beings and the concept of consent, we'd have less problems like sexual assault and less people freaking out about sexual and gender orientation. Maybe if our society wasn't so war-hungry and emotionally driven and regressive on how to treat mental illness, we wouldn't worship the military over schools. But I guess we gotta spend that $824.7 billion war budget somehow, right? So why not push corporate interests and delude teenagers into taking up arms and then neglect them when they come home? And that's another issue this trans-military debate is bringing up. Taking care of veterans when they come home instead of shoving them aside. Republican representative from California, Duncan Hunter, said that people should figure out whether you're a man or woman before joining up. Okay, that is a fair assessment, but as I mentioned earlier, maybe they've already made up their mind about what their actual gender is, but gender reassignment surgeries are expensive, and perhaps joining the military and utilizing those services is the only way they can afford it. This is no different than recruiting high school and college graduates with the good promise of taking care of their student debts. This is just another way of conning people to join the military.
You want healthcare, bro? Cool. How many lives is worth your life?
But in the case of transgenders, they're gonna ostracize them, but still hope that they fight for their nation and possibly die for it. The way they see it, healthcare for a transgender person is like two lives of a person we've claimed as the enemy. You know, it's like a 2-to-1 ratio because of the gender situation, because they were one, another. You guys get it? You guys get the math on that one? Out of that $824 billion war budget, less than 1% is spent on the Department of Veterans Affairs. Which means that if they cut funding for transgender folks in the military, that'll be another reason to cut funding for Veterans Affairs and inflate another drone tank bomb that we don't need. We have the world's largest military. Shouldn't that include better care for veterans? But that would actually mean seeing soldiers as people and not tools to push regime change for corporate and political agendas. This issue sheds light on Congress stripping healthcare. On this track, the only way the average citizen will be able to get healthcare is by taking up arms for America. And the only way you get to keep it will be by fighting constantly. And because the second you come home, they won't be taking care of you. And every week, you'll have to prove what kind of dong you have to get access to services from the VA. This sheds light on the military spending billions on wars and changing regimes instead of changing the paradigm. It will spend more money on sex, consensual or not, than helping people cope with the death that they caused. It sheds light on the fact that being different and asking questions is a bad thing, but blind patriotism will be rewarded with a beer and a biscuit. It sheds light on the fact that our politics have always been, and will continue to be, crazy. That's been your Fork Full of Noodles for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this video, please share it with your friends, your enemies, whoever you would like to share it with. I have live stand-up comedy shows coming up in Des Moines, Iowa, Muncie, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana. We just added the date in Terre Haute and Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm going to be doing the Indy Fringe this year from August 17th to the 27th at the Comedy Sports. All the details and tickets are available at ramennoodlescomedy.com. You can get all the Indy Fringe tickets at indyfringe.org. And if you'd like, you can also download or pre-order a copy of my new stand-up comedy album, Approaching Happiness. It's all about breaking stigma surrounding mental health and various other political issues. You can check it out in the link in the description below. It's called Approaching Happiness. And while you're on my Bandcamp, you can also subscribe to get exclusive material every single month for only a couple shekels a month. And if you'd like to continue supporting socially conscious stand-up comedy, this video series, my podcast, you can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/krishmohan. Ha ha. Thanks for getting into it.